We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Last night in Columbia, Mizzou gets their first win over a ranked opponent since December 7th, 2013, when they beat UCLA the day that the Mizzou football team was going to play Auburn in the SEC championship game. A little bit of a hiatus from defeating ranked teams, but that happened again last night as Missouri beat the 21st ranked team in the nation, Tennessee, 59-55. We have Jarrett Sutton, former Mizzou basketball player, current SEC Network analyst and NBA scout, in studio to talk about this. Hello, Jarrett Sutton. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Awesome.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Good win.
Great.
How you feeling, Steven?
Good.
Yeah?
Good.
Yeah?
Let's hear...
You needed that.
Well, I need a lot more than that, but, you know, that helps. Let's hear from Konzo Martin. Let's play the after-the-game interview that he did on SEC Network that we played at the top of the show. Again... We always talk about what coaches say and everything else. Everything sounds better after a win.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to get the fan base fired up with your comments after a loss. But Konzo Martin just says the right things and had me fired up after the game. And as a former player, I want to hear what you say when you hear Jarrett Sutton, when you hear Konzo Martin talking about the big win against Tennessee.
One thing we said to our guys, it'll be a street fight. And we knew, because one thing, they're a really good three-point shooting team, so we want to take away the free ball for them. And we felt like they would do the same to us. And we said it'll be a street fight. It'll be a tough physical game. Both teams will guard you. They'll make you play. You have to make the extra play. It can be ugly, which I like it ugly. And I thought we did enough to win the game, but they're a very talented team. They're physical, and Grant is better than advertised. One thing I said to our guys at half, I said, we're tie ball game. I said, we're in great shape because we haven't made any threes. And I know those eventually fall, and they have to guard that. So once our guys, for some reason, we settle in the second half and start understanding and engaging how teams will defend us, then we can get stuff rolling. But I think the next thing for us is being able to have a lead and maintain a lead and try to blow it open. And we got to continue to grow in that area.
He called it a street fight twice. You know, yeah, right. And then he said, it was ugly, but I like it ugly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got that reputation for being a tough, defensive-minded coach that not all players can play for. Seeing that didn't really work well with Blake Harris, all the way going back to a video that was posted on the Mizzou basketball Twitter account, I think after the win against St. John's, when Konzo basically said, because Blake was sulking Mizzou came back and won, he was sulking on the bench because he wasn't in the game, and it was no mistake that they posted that, and it's Konzo Martin saying, Blake, this isn't about you. This isn't about you. This is about the team. This is about supporting your teammates when they come back and get a win. You're like,
yep.
And that's kind of, right. You know, that. And Blake Harris is gone now.
He makes you want to run through a wall for him, honestly. I mean, anytime I hear Konzo
talk.
You
want me to run through a wall for you? Because I will.
That'd be great.
I mean,
that'd be great.
What kind of wall are we talking
whatever.
About here?
Yeah, that's true.
Glass wall?
Well, I don't care.
Like,
no, not a glass
room.
What do you call it? A emergency room? Like, why the hell would you want to throw me through glass?
I'm trying to think of a wall that you could actually
hell?
Run through.
I could run through walls. I have. I ran through a fence on a dare, but that ended in
like the Kool-Aid man.
Bad injury. I wish I could be the Kool-Aid man and just run into any wall. That'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this was the type of win. I think when I heard Konzo Martin was going to be the coach and what I thought he was, this is what I envisioned.
These
tough, grinded out where it's going to be ugly. There are times that both teams looked offensively challenged, but Mizzou won the rebounding battle, and they were the tougher basketball team. This was a good win against a top 25 opponent.
Absolutely. Yeah, so you know they held Tennessee averages 79 points a game. They hold them to... less than 24 points below their average, so that was huge. Hold them to 54. Again, defense travels, and that's what the toughness factor, the identity piece of this Missouri basketball program that Konzo's instilled. And they win a game when Jordan Barnett didn't necessarily play well, and they didn't shoot the ball well. It's a top 20 team shooting the basketball from three.
Didn't make a three-pointer in the first half.
Didn't make a three-pointer in the first half. They're tied. And the flow and execution in the second half, I love the adjustments Konzo made. They went to a flat ball screen, ran it on the weak side, You know, typically in the first half, they were running their secondary break. They just couldn't get anything going inside. And the thing about Tennessee and Missouri is they do mirror each other. They're very similar in a lot of ways in that they're both built on defense. They suffocate the paint defensively. And I agreed with Konzo. I mean, I knew this game was going to be a tough game. It was going to be probably in the 50s and 60s. Both teams guard really well. Grant Williams is an underrated player in this league. I liked him last year. I don't think he gets enough talk, honestly. I think he's a really good player at 15 last night. I thought Missouri did a nice job against him. But finding, again, we talk about this Missouri basketball team closing games. And Cassius Robertson made an unbelievable play to avoid the backcourt there in the second half. Late seconds left. We inbound the ball, and I don't think Jonte realized where the ball was being inbounded, because Cassius kind of looked at him like, I have to go to the backcourt, and he threw the ball right at the mid-stripe. Cassius made a great play.
He may have saved the game.
Oh, absolutely. And I know I think game ball does go to Kevin Puryear, double-double. I didn't think shoot it all that well, but he made some winning plays, and the guy just plays all out. And hit his free throws. But Cassius Robertson saved the day with that play. That was a great play late in the game.
This is what Konzo said about that play at the end of the game.
That one almost made me grow some hair back, too. It never stops. It just will continue to get better.
I like the fact that Konzo said that play almost made him grow some hair.
Yeah.
I do.
That's impressive.
I do like they made the adjustment, though, that they're going to Cassius late. They're trying to get the ball in his hands late. I think the ball needs to be in his hand. Not to take away anything from Jordan Geis, because I think he's been good.
Good for him making those two free throws, Jordan Geis.
Absolutely, absolutely. And look, Jordan gives it. Jordan's so improved from last year. And Jordan, we don't talk about great plays. Jordan Geis late when I think Tennessee had the ball. There was probably 15, 14 seconds left. And Missouri's up three, and I think Konzo wanted to foul up three, and Jordan Geis did that perfectly. He did a nice job of changing the primary ball handler, and then fouled before the screens happened and before the shooter could go into his shot. And that was a huge play. Those are little details. Those are little execution pieces that Missouri wasn't doing, and that was good to see, because they closed it. And again, I think Tennessee's an NCAA tournament team. And if Missouri plays like they played last night defensively with that level of grit and that level of detail execution, and they make shots, they're going to be fine.
I explained this earlier that for the teams that I root for, it seems like the coaches, I've seen a lot of bad strategy and execution in the final minutes and seconds of games. So we've seen it from Mizzou a couple of times this year.
Mm-hmm.
But the game against Florida and the game against Arkansas, They've bounced back with good performances after those games. So they have not let one loss become two. But last night I'm watching that, and there's two things that Konzo Martin did late, and I was just so thrilled because I wanted them to happen. And Missouri basketball coaches just have rarely done things at the end of basketball games that I've wanted to happen. We've seen, you know, that's mm-hmm. just how it is. He goes to some full court pressure when Tennessee is going to take the ball out and when they're down three. Mm-hmm. Just because I just don't let the guy let
don't
the ball
roll
drill,
up, yeah.
roll it up. You know, put some pressure on them. And you see that kind of had them out of sorts, right? Mm-hmm. And so then, like you said, I'm all in. I'm a big proponent of in that situation, if you can do it without any danger of fouling a guy while he's in the act of shooting, you foul under 5 seconds when you're up three.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that doesn't always happen. Not every coach is like that. You know that.
Yep.
And so when he did that, I'm like, yes!
Especially when you're struggling to close games.
Right.
You got to play that strategy.
And then Tennessee missed that first free throw, and it just all went from there. I'm like, thank you!
One of the biggest takeaways, too, from last night, I love when they mic up coaches, because sometimes when you mic up coaches, they'll just say stuff, and it's fluffy, and you're like, okay, there's nothing really there.
Like I've said, when it was Kim Anderson,
yeah.
Somebody should have stepped in and
sometimes
said no.
Sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's bad.
It was. What did you think last night? I loved it.
The one piece of it, and I know they showed probably three or four times him mic'd up, but the one thing that stuck with me was in the first half, I think it was the first half, with Jeremiah Tillman. And Missouri did a great job of ball screen defense, and they were blitzing the ball screen. They wanted Jeremiah out hard hedging, which hard hedging means you're pushing the ball handler out towards half court. You don't want him to turn the corner with the head of steam and go downhill on you. And where Jeremiah struggles, where he gets cheap fouls, is he's really good moving laterally, but he'll be standing straight up, and he's not ready for the ball screen. He doesn't do his work early. And you'll always hear coaches say, do your work early. You do it. Do your work early on the offensive end. Do your work early on the defensive end. And Konza was talking about Jeremiah. He was yelling at Jeremiah, get ready, get ready, get ready, get in a stance. Because Jeremiah comes out on that ball screen, when he's standing straight up, it's an easy block call. Easy block call. But when Jeremiah comes out with his legs bent and he's in a defensive stance and he's moving, and it's tough. It's hard work. But that's when you don't get fouls on you, and that's when they play better stifling defense, and that's a great adjustment to see. That's coaching. That's working with a freshman and a young kid who struggled with fouls, who's trying to improve, and I just see it every game. There's something that Konza does to impact the game, and you saw it last night in multiple ways.
And that's the kind of coach you want mic'd up.
Yeah, because absolutely.
You hear things that add to the broadcast, and he's also...
And he doesn't just yell to yell.
Right.
He yells with purpose. You hear him on the sideline, and he's very enthused. I love that about him. It's almost like he's playing the defensive possession himself. But I just love how he talks to the players. I love how he's seeing the play before it happens, and he's right there on the baseline with them. I think that helps you as a player. I think that keeps you locked in, engaged, especially when you're away from the ball, because it's easy to put active ball pressure and use your athleticism. But when you're away from the ball, you have to be just as locked in, maybe even more engaged on the defensive end.
I think usually when I watch guys get mic'd up, it's a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like they're just, because they can't show any of the good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
If a coach, you know, gives some strategy away, things like that. But I thought there were actually some moments like that yesterday where, and more than anything, like Steven said, you can see the passion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because obviously, and look, some coaches are very calm.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Stevens looks like he's about to fall asleep through
yep.
through like the most stressful points of games, but he's a winner, so it seems kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're watching a team get their butt kicked game in and game out, and the coach looks like he's, you know, just got no anima whatsoever, it's got to be a breath of fresh air for Missouri fans to see Konza Martin so passionate about things.
Yeah, yeah, and I would even say too, you know, when Konzo's the most worked up and when he's really engaged, and you know, it's because, you know, his players make an adjustment and do something positive that maybe they weren't doing in prior games. That's when he gets most excited, because he sees players turn a corner. And he even said it last night. I think it was Kevin Puryear said it, that last night was a great night for Missouri basketball. It was a great night that they beat a ranked team, yes. But it was a great night because you saw a lot of improvement taking place, and they didn't necessarily play all that well. And like Konza said, it was a tough, grinded-out game, games that he likes. But Missouri's so much better offensively, too. They didn't actually play all that well offensively last night, but they're much better shooting the ball. And
Ball movement was good.
Ball movement was great. And man, I can't say enough about the finding Cassius Robertson. How he came to Missouri. You know, he's a top player as far as grad transfers are concerned, scoring the ball. He's been huge, and he showed great leadership. And Konzo's right. After the game last night, you know, he played all 40 minutes, and I bet you money he was in the gym after the game shooting last night. That's just the level of detail, and just a gym rat, and always trying to improve. This is his last chance, and so that, to me, says something about a senior stepping up there late.
I just liked his reaction when he was mic'd up to Tillman taking the charge, too.
Yeah. Yeah,
remember the end, because
yep.
and that's part of the coach. Like they've been trying to get him to do that. That's the first charge he's taken this year, I think.
You,
right?
It reminds me of when we tried to desperately tell Ricardo Ratliff to take a charge,
yeah.
And the first time he took a charge, our entire bench, coaches, everybody, because you know that the player, it's uncomfortable for him. It's new. He's never done it before. He's already worried about getting blocks and fouls, and he sacrifices his body. And it was a great time to take the charge. And it's good just to see growth there.
We've got Jared Sutton in studio. Back after this on WHB. Now, I'd like to play a selection from Rick Barnes' greatest hits. After the game, he spoke with the media after Mizzou beat Tennessee 59-55. Nate Bucchetti had plenty to say about this. Let's hear former Texas coach and current Tennessee coach Rick Barnes talking about how the game against Mizzou was officiated last night.
I don't know if I've ever coached a game. I was kidding with the official because he knows I've coached a bunch of games. I said, I don't know if I've ever coached against a team that only had two fouls in the first half. And he said, well, you ever coached a game where a team had one? I said, I don't think so. Now, see, my point is I don't think our team has ever been in a 1-1. And then I thought for a minute, every time we went to Kansas, yeah, that happened a lot. Thank you, guys.
Wow.
Yes.
Discuss.
I had a feeling this would probably be brought up today. I had a feeling.
This guy. Nobody asked him about it. That's just Rick Barnes playing to the crowd, and
I was surprised.
And then when he walked out, off camera, he said, "Ask Norm about it.
Ask Fran Fraschilla about it."
He did not say, "Ask Fran Fraschilla about it." Smart ass. He said, "Ask Norm."
Ask Fran Fraschilla about it.
See, that's not necessarily that's Jake.
Ask every former coach. Ask Norm. Everybody. Ask Fran. Everybody. Anybody who's ever set foot in Allen Fieldhouse will tell you. Gabe Jarman's sending Missouri fans after me on Twitter right now.
Good.
I saw your exchange this morning.
Well, because Gabe said it was his favorite thing from the night last night. And I said, well, that's a great compliment to Kansas fans because on the night when Missouri got their first win, you just said, because your favorite thing was the fact that Missouri got their first win over a ranked team in 5 years.
Right. The game itself was my favorite. Yeah. The second favorite was when Konzo said that it was ugly, but I like it ugly. And I'm like, yeah, so do I. That's why I like it ugly.
Street fight.
But then he was talking about basketball. I'm like, I'm sorry, but still, I like it ugly. And then, whatever.
Hey, I thought you were talking about cruising
agree.
The belt. Back.
Yes, I agree. Both and then I like the mic'd up. I like, there's all these different things.
Yeah.
And then I got some ha-has with Gabe retweeted that. And people, I like to see people's mentions of people fighting. And I enjoyed that, but that wasn't my favorite thing. But, we played it. You wanted to hear it?
Jared, oh, it's funny. It's funny. And it clearly, like, Rick Barnes knowing his audience. I mean, that's a good comedian, knows how to read the crowd.
That's right.
You know?
Knows he's in Columbia.
He knew how to read the crowd there. And I like the fact that he did it and then, like, thank you, good night.
All right.
Yeah, my name's Rick Barnes. Y'all think great.
Mic drop. After a loss, too. Just dropping that out there.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, it was a smart on his part because he was going to complain about the refs.
Yeah.
He found a way in their home gym to complain about the refs and then get everybody on his side.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
I was complaining about the rest, but I thought, Allen Fieldhouse way worse. And, am I right? Am I right?
And boom goes the dynamite.
What I liked there was the response from the media there, where you had like the Ed McMahon type. Hi-yo!
Every time we went to Kansas, yeah, that happened a lot. Thank you, guys.
Yes. You are correct, sir.
Yes.
If he would have said, ask Fran about it, immediately put him in every Hall of Fame.
Ask Fran Fraschilla about it.
Yep.
If that, instead of saying, like, when he's walking,
before the mic
saying,
drop, before the mic drop,
instead of saying, ask Norm, is what that's what you don't hear it, but he did say, ask Norm about it. What if he would have said, ask Fran,
game over. You know what? He could have gone two levels
first
down,
ballot.
He could have gone, or two levels up, and he could have said, ask Bruce Weber about it.
Oh, no. Wow. See, you just,
he could speak for us.
See?
And they just pass it down the line, you know?
Jared Sutton, I thought it was glorious to watch the flow in the first half where no whistles were blown and they just kept under eight timeout, under four timeout, kept going and going and going. I'm like, this first half's going to be done in under 35 minutes. This is wonderful.
Yeah, that was great. They let the game play, especially in a physical game. Both teams bring a ton of intensity on the defensive end. And I thought they were pretty consistent. There were two or three calls that I thought were bad calls, but that's okay. You're going to have a couple a game. The key was that they stayed consistent for the most part of the game. We can talk about officiating. I feel like, again, that's an issue that I have just in the game of college basketball because it gets talked about so much in so many leagues and so many games. But I actually thought it was pretty well done in a game that was intense and tough and close down the stretch. I thought it was officiated well, I thought. But I guess Rick Barnes maybe didn't approve of that.
And so do you agree with, because we all agree, Nate, Jake, and I, we want our coach, we want our team to foul under 5 seconds left when you're up three.
Yes.
In that situation.
Yes.
Right? And so that's...
Yes.
Because not all basketball coaches...
No.
And
I think I think you can do it with a veteran team. I think if you have a veteran group that is... tough, hard nose, but I still think it's you play the percentages. You've seen crazier things happen in college basketball. I think it was Maryland, Illinois. I was watching where kid hits a three pointer, gets fouled, hits the free throw. There's like 1.5 seconds left. It was Nebraska. It was Nebraska, Illinois, and Nebraska comes down. Guy double clutches, hits a three off the backboard.
Like, also,
you just see crazier things. So in that situation, yes, I'm fouling up three.
What kind of rebounding team are you? Missouri was winning the rebounding. They're a good rebounding team.
Yeah.
And what kind of three-point shooting team is the opponent? Tennessee is a good three-point shooting team. So you don't want them taking a three, and you feel like you're going to get the rebound.
Yeah. Well, and at Missouri, that's an area of improvement, actually, that I'm glad you brought up, Stephen, is there were so many times, I'm glad finally one of the broadcasters said it, is so many times Missouri just watches Jonte, and Jonte is just battling for rebounds with three guys around him. And you're thinking, okay, you know, I know that Jonte's a great rebounder and he impacts the game in so many ways, but, you know, all five guys got to contribute and go get rebounds. You know, Cassius can go get three or four rebounds. Obviously, I thought Kevin had a great game. Kevin rebounded the ball really well. But there were just a few possessions late where, you know, there's three orange jerseys there battling with Jonte. And Jonte's length, he ends up getting rebounds, but he's kind of all alone. So, yes, Missouri's a good rebounding team, but they actually could be better. I thought they could have rebounded the ball a little bit better last night because there were some offensive rebounds. Grant Williams had a couple putbacks in the first half.
He's a good rebounder.
Yeah, he is. But it was simply, you know, I think guards in particular, because I fell victim of this, and I'm guilty of this when I played, and it's guards do it. They look at their bigs and think, okay, well, I'm not going to go out-compete him for a rebound, so I just stand and ball watch, when really I can go find an orange jersey, go block him out, and maybe the ball comes off the rebound. I get the ball bounces off the rim. I can get the rebound. I can help my team. So that's just little things that I think I need to keep improving for this team to really hone in on the glass.
And at the end of the game, after the bad endings to the Florida and Arkansas games, I kept saying, boy, if it's someone taking a shot, when they were up one,
mm-hmm.
and you feel like they needed to hit another shot, you did not want Tennessee to have the ball down one.
No.
If somebody was going to take a shot from the floor, I wanted it to be Cassius Robertson.
Yeah.
If somebody was going to go to the line, I wanted it to be Kevin Puryear, because I feel totally comfortable that Puryear's going to make those free throws. So then, of course, Jordan Geis gets fouled. I'm like, oh, boy, just can't get away from this, you know. Jordan Geis will decide every game. And I'm like, you know what? Really?
I mean,
and so like, he's going to the free throw like, well, here, okay, all right, here
hey,
we
man.
Go.
Yep. Stepped up.
And you know, I'm so happy that the kid made them, right? Because that could really help him.
And a little play, too. In the second half, there was probably a minute and change left. Missouri had the ball. And I think it was Jonte was going to set a screen for Jordan Geis. And Geis rejected the ball screen. He was driving towards the baseline. And Tennessee just smelled blood in the water. And they were going to double him. And I think Geis did a nice job of, he was kind of trying to pull his dribble back. And he was going to make a pass back to the top of the key to Jonte. And man, there were two Tennessee guys that jumped the passing lane.
He laid it
and
up.
Geis almost threw the pass, but he brought it back. And it was so similar to Florida. I thought Tennessee's going to steal this and go right on point blank dunk. But he didn't. That was a good change there late in the game.
You know, there's something to Jordan Geis that Konzo Martin likes.
Gritty.
You know what I mean?
Loves.
And I know that probably, like, there's times that it's like, why? But I think that when a coach comes into a new program, he's got to set a tone and a culture right away. He has to do it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to, you know, I think the analogy I've heard sometimes, you know, you come in and you shake the tree, and the fruit that falls out wasn't strong enough, you know, for the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And you clean that out. And now what you've got left is what you can work with, you know. And there's clearly something he likes about the toughness and the grittiness of Jordan Geis. I was hearing Mitch Holtis was talking about the Minnesota Vikings yesterday when I was listening to him on Between the Lines, and he was talking about how that's a team of survivors, of guys that have just stuck through, you know, ups and downs and failures and people not believing him and all those things. And then when you have those guys at the end, you got a tough group of guys.
Yep.
And I just think there's something to be said for that. I know that Jordan Geis frustrates people, and he's had some bad turnovers.
Well, he's a tough kid.
But you know what? He's resilient. And there's guys, I mean, you I just look at Blake Harris, and I think that guy, my initial is that guy's not tough enough to stick it out with Konzo Martin, and he doesn't think long-term enough to realize that he'll be better for it if he sticks it out. And I know I have a tendency to go to Kansas guys sometimes about these things, but I told you about Russell Robinson. You know, Russell Robinson wanted to transfer when he was a freshman. He's talked openly about that. And his dad was the one that said, you're not tough enough to hang? You don't think you can win a starting job there? And by the time he was a senior, he was starting on a national championship team.
What would Marcus
one of the toughest
Peters,
guards in the country, too.
What would Marcus Peters have said about
let
that?
Let them nuts hang, bud. You know?
I mean, that really. But, how many times have that we been able to use that and it applies?
Yeah.
Nate, you asked me a question earlier in the year. You asked me, we were talking about who's Missouri's starting five going to be.
Right.
And they roll out Cassius Robertson as their starting point guard. That said a lot to me, because Cassius isn't necessarily a point guard.
Right.
He's off the ball. So it immediately tells me that there's things that Konzo's still having to address as far as toughness, as far as the culture that you're talking about, and what the bar is that he's going to set. And I think that was that said it to me of you're going to earn your spot and you're going to have to build trust with me. Yeah. Jordan Geist built that trust. No excuse. And, you know, Terrence Phillips has struggled, but I think Terrence is earning some minutes back by trust that he's doing in practice. And now Blake Harris isn't on there. He transfers. And I just think that there's some guys that, that can't handle guys like Konzo Martin because he's a tough coach. He is.
You want to talk about toughness? How about Kevin Puryear losing his starting job?
Yeah.
Is he pouting about it? Is he, like, sitting around complaining? He goes out and puts double-double up yesterday.
Yep.
You know, that to me, that's the test of a guy's character, or that's the revelation of a guy's character right there.
And Kevin Puryear is all about winning games. He does not care about anything in the stat sheet, doesn't care about points, whatever. And this is a guy that, you know, last year was scored 30 points in the SEC tournament, a guy that was returning. He's an in-state guy, and, you know, all Michael Porter's coming, and Jonte's coming, and this team, you know, all these newcomers are back. And, man, he is just stuck through it, and he just continues to play relentlessly hard on both ends of the floor. He had a huge steal last night late in the game that was huge, chasing a 50-50 ball. Those little things are what really drives Konzo. How you're going to earn minutes, how you're going to earn trust, those plays like that, and that's why Missouri won last night.
When we come back, we will have Jared Sutton preview the weekend and give his thoughts on the matchups for Mizzou and Kansas and Kansas State and the other big games in the Big 12 and the SEC after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I don't know if I've ever coached a game. I was kidding with the official because he knows I've coached a bunch of games. I said, I don't know if I've ever coached against a team that only had two fouls in the first half. And he said, well, you ever coach a game where a team had one? I said, I don't think so. Now, so my point is I don't think our team has ever been in a 1-1. And then I thought for a minute, every time we went to Kansas, yeah, that happened a lot. Thank you, guys.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Okay, let's get to some matchups this weekend. As we are reeling from the fact that Texas Tech lost at Texas, and now Kansas is once again in sole possession of first place, Nate Buchady informed you that Kansas will host Baylor on Saturday at Allen Fieldhouse. What do you think of Baylor? They are 2-4 in the Big 12 Conference.
Well, I think it's more for Kansas to come home and continue to build off the West Virginia game. I said it after they beat West Virginia. That can be a game that changes your season.
As far as
the level of toughness that they played with in the second half. You know, we talked about Devontae a lot in that game, and I know he got the game ball, whatever, but I can't say enough about Safi Mikailuk in that game and the toughness and the level of resolve that he had. I mean, this kid was going at Kanate, got his shot blocked twice, had some bad turnovers. A couple years ago, Svi would have been done. Svi came back in the second half and maybe some of the best defense I've seen him play, and then hit two huge three-point shots in the corner and really, really, I thought, played well and played like a senior. He's got to continue to play well. He has to be consistent. Same with LeGerald Vick. LeGerald, at the beginning of the year, was playing elite basketball. I know he, you know, hasn't started, and Bill Self's really trying to challenge him, but he's got to continue to improve his level of play. I think for Kansas, it was such a good win, but they still have so much to build upon after the West Virginia game. And this is somewhat of a trap game. Nate said it off air. It's a trap game because you do have Oklahoma down the road, and you got to take care of your home turf. You got to be Baylor. Joe Luau Seal is improved. I think it's going to be a big matchup for Azubuike. I want to see how Azubuike handles that, and he has to continue to stay out of foul trouble. He's been so efficient this year, my gosh, from the field. He's been terrific. And then guard play as well. LeCompte can shoot it. I know the King kid can shoot it as well. Lindsey, it comes off the bench, and he's a guy that you got to look for because he's really tough. But I like Kansas in this game if they just continue to build upon what they did, hone in on the defensive end. I know rim protection is an issue for them, but continuing to rebound, limit teams to one shot, and then close games out. And, you know, Seren Petra had it in his monologue a couple days ago. Kansas does a great job of winning games. You can talk about officiating and who gets calls, but Kansas is the team, and why they've won 13 straight. They close games out. They win tough games. And do a great job, I think, of executing down the stretch and showing that level of toughness. So give me Kansas in this game.
Here's what Scott Drew had to say about the matchup.
Hello, how's everybody doing?
Mm-hmm. All right,
well, great.
That doesn't seem relevant, but whatever.
Well,
doing great.
Bob Huggins seemed to be a real fan of the fact that they left Svi wide open in the corner twice.
No, he was
down
not.
The stretch in that game.
He did not like that.
He didn't like that.
Mm-mm.
It's hard to it's hard to tell with him. He kind of minces words sometimes.
So Kansas wins by double digits. We agree on that.
Okay.
I think it's going to be close.
No. Okay.
I do. Well, first of all, Kansas doesn't. I mean, has Kansas won a game by double digits in the Big 12 yet this year?
No, but now it's time.
I wonder if there might not be a little bit of a like that. I think it'll be competitive.
I honestly.
You know? When do they play OU? Tuesday.
Tuesday. Yeah. So I just wonder. You know, people are going to come in and just assume all Kansas. You know, the 2-4 Baylor. And this Kansas team has a tough time blowing people out for one thing because they can't throw wave after wave at you. They almost have to conserve energy through the course of the game. You know,
X factor in this game, TJ Maston. That's the guy I circle for Baylor. He can get offensive rebounds. He's physical. He had a great game against Kansas in Lawrence last year. If I'm Bill Self, I'm playing clips of him in that game from last year just to motivate you and get you going.
Jake, does that excite you? Jared Sutton said the X factor is going to be at the game. You know, Chiefs are out of it, so he'll be supporting.
Just say no to
KU,
drugs.
So let's do it.
Wearing KU Zubaz or Baylor Zubaz?
Jared said it, not me. I'm intrigued by TCU at Kansas State. Kansas State, boy, did they look good against Oklahoma. TCU, they got a much-needed win against Iowa State last night, but still a disappointing 2-4 in the Big 12 Conference. What type of matchup do you think TCU is for Kansas State in Manhattan?
It's a dangerous game for K-State. I think Barry Brown obviously is playing really well over his last few games. I think, honestly, you know, the injury to Stokes, he's really stepped up his game. And Dean Wade passing the ball against Oklahoma was terrific. And he's another guy that has to continue to be consistent and productive and be aggressive. Because when he is, in Kansas State, the way they run their offense with back cuts and screening and ball movement and player movement, Dean Wade's got to be a factor. K-State's riding high. They got a great win and took Oklahoma out of everything they wanted to do, forced a lot of turnovers. This TCU team is tough because they've struggled. They've lost some close games, but they still are a veteran group that I really like a lot. Vlad Brodzianski, Kenrich Williams is one of the better players in the Big 12. I think he's one of the better players in the country. Great two-way player. And then guard play. Jalen Fisher is back, talented kid. And then
he just hurt his knee again.
Is he going to be out for this game?
I think they're saying
Nate Bukidi declares him out.
He's scheduled to have surgery today.
Okay, so I didn't know he got hurt. Okay.
Yeah, he just injured his knee in practice before last night's game.
That'd be a quick turnaround.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to see through this article what they're saying the prognosis is. He missed a trip to Australia in August after tearing his meniscus in his left knee, was back for the start of the season. Basically, he knew what it was right away when he injured it in practice. So I don't know how long he's supposed to be out, but it says here this article that he's having surgery today. So
yeah, it hurts. I don't know
if that's just a cleanup or what it is.
Yeah, he's one of their better players, so that hurt. I didn't know he was out. Tough game for Kansas State. I think TCU, if it's a late game, I like Coach Dixon and his level of execution down the stretch. So it's going to be a tough one for the Wildcats.
Missouri at Texas A&M.
Game one in the paint. Missouri goes back on the road. Got to start quick. Tyler Davis, that's the guy you circle. He was terrific against Ole Miss. Had the game winner. They have DJ Hoge back. They have Admon Gilder back. Those two guys were out. Texas A&M has been at the bottom of the league, but they're still a dangerous team, and they got all their guys back. So for Missouri, it's continuing to own the paint, continue to rebound the basketball, and then for Texas A&M, they got a bunch of guys that have some length. Robert Williams, NBA player. He's going to be tough and be aggressive, so it's going to be a challenge for Missouri.
Finally, Flo Rida at Kentucky.
Ooh. Okay.
Florida looks good.
Florida looks good. Yeah.
Who do you got?
I got Florida. Kentucky is not shooting the basketball well
at
from
Kentucky?
Three. I'll go Florida.
I like it.
Give me Michael White.
I like this.
Yep. Kalen Allen was outstanding last night. Just lit up Arkansas. Arkansas was beat from this jump. So. Chioza. Chris Chioza.
Man.
One of my favorite players in college basketball.
I'm just looking it up now.
I know Missouri doesn't like that name, but.
Well.
Star Telegram has two sources that believe that Fisher's injury is season ending.
Yeah.
That sucks. Mm-hmm.
That hurts.
Yeah, that sucks. He's a good kid, good player. I don't know if he seems like a good kid. Good player.
Yep.
How much have you spent a lot of time with him?
I haven't spent any time with him whatsoever. I have no no insight as to whether or not he's a good kid. But
have
he's a good
you spent
player.
A lot of time with Greg Gurley?
Not a good guy.
He is waiting in the wings.
I can't. Apparently, he has a really good story. I don't know if he's going to share it on the air.
I like him too. He texts me about it. You guys have heard this before.
I want to hear it again. We've got Jarrett Sutton leaving the studio, Greg Gurley entering the studio. It's all happening
right now.
Is it 10
o'clock yet?
Oh, huh? I wish it was. Jarrett, thank you for the time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Have a good weekend.
This is what
I might stick around just to listen to Gurley's
stories. I'd like you to.
Just to stay off air.
I'd like you to. Okay. Can I tell you when Greg Gurley's here? It's the commercial breaks that really provide the entertainment around here.
I remember this from when we were on together, actually.
Right. That's Jarrett Sutton. Here comes Greg Gurley on Sports Radio 810 WHB.